Hey guys, welcome to Sunset Church Podcast. We're a brand new church in Silicon Valley. My name is Yasmin and I'm one of the lead pastors here. Hey, if you want to hear more, don't forget to subscribe and text 77977 and download our app.
Listen, if you're married for more than 5 minutes, those differences come out. Every married person will tell you this. Men and women are different. Let me prove it to you. Well, my wife and I go on vacation. I take 2 t-shirts and 2 pieces of underwear. Doesn't matter if we're going for 10 days or like 2 years. I'm going to wear that until it disintegrates. A woman, though, women are just different. Like, we went on vacation, a dream vacation, 2 years ago to Italy. It was the time of our life, but I almost died several times on this trip, breaking my back carrying her luggage around. Listen, I'm about to connect with some of the women immediately. I'm like, honey, what is this extra suitcase for? Like, I'm dying here. She's like, Allie, you need to understand, women need options. Like, there's no man in here this morning that's like, oh my gosh, amen to that, sister. Like, if you say that, we're no longer friends, right? Like, I'm like, what do you mean you need options? She's like, I plan out every outfit for every day that we're gone in Italy. But what if I wake up one morning and I don't want to wear black? What if I feel like wearing yellow? Listen, if you're a man and you feel like wearing a certain color this morning, this is not the church for you. I'm just trying to be real. My wife can say that, but you can't, because men and women are just different. Like, even the way that we talk, the average man psychologist says between 5 and 8,000 words. Women on average say 10,000, with gusts up to 25,000, depending on who they're in company with. Like, don't get angry, just own that. 4 weeks ago, my wife was out having coffee with a friend. 3 hours later, I'm about to call the police. I had pull out my phone. You ever find your iPhone? I'm like calling, texting, nothing. I eventually have to push the alert button. I'm like, are you like dead? Like, what's going on? She's like, I'm still here, chill. I'm like, you're at the coffee shop for 3 hours on purpose? Like, I've never had a man call me and say, man, we don't talk anymore. Like, that never happens. Like, men will go hunting, we'll go camping, and we won't even talk for like 3 days, and like, we're connecting. Why? Because men and women are different. And this is one of those topics, listen, where we're gonna talk about the difference between men and women. I'm gonna teach you 4 things this morning that you men need to know about your wife. So if you're taking notes this morning, your marriage is gonna change. Listen, these are things that I'm still growing in. Please don't think I figured this out. This is like Britney Spears having a parenting conference. Like, this is like the last person that should be doing this. Like, I'm still learning. But the idea is, there's still one thing, one of the 4 things, if you apply it to your marriage, I believe not only will your marriage change, your family, your kids, everything will change. And before I begin, before I set my first point, can you raise your hand if you're a parent this morning? If you have kids, raise your hand. Okay, leave your hand up if you're a parent, or if you're a dad of a daughter. If you're a dad of a daughter, see these hands right here? These people will murder you in 5 seconds if you hurt their kids. Like, that's just the truth. Like, they may love their other kids, but the love that a dad has for his little girl is just different. It's not better. It's just different. Like, a couple months ago, my wife, my daughter and I, every time I'm off my Fridays, it's my day off, because Sunday's a work day, we go to the park. We go to breakfast together, and we go to the park. This one time, we're at the park, and my daughter is, like, running back to me. Her lower lip is quivering. She's, like in tears. I'm like, Daddy, Daddy. I'm like, what happened? Like, the sand. Like, you couldn't have fallen that hard. Like, and she's, like, tank. She'll run into the walls. Nothing will happen. I'm like, what's, like, something must have happened for her to cry. She goes, those girls won't let me go down the slide. I'm like, I'm about to kill 2 people and preach their funeral. I'm like, what do you mean they won't let you go down the slide? So I hold her hand and we walk over, and listen, these 2 girls, they were filled with demons, because they see me, and they, as my daughter's walking up the steps to go up, they block the steps to the top. And I'm like, I'm a pastor. I want to punt these 2 girls, but I can't, right? And I go, excuse me, we want to use the slide. And only after I say something do they get out of the way. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm like trying to flip you over the side of the rail. So my daughter goes down, and like, we're having a good time. Like, listen, some of you don't understand this, but like, when my daughter begins to date when she's 30, 35 years old, it's not funny, it's true. I'm gonna invite the boyfriend, I'm gonna lay out the table, all my guns and knives. I want him to know what he's dealing with. I'm gonna bring a shovel, like, I know how to use this. And only dads of daughters understand. Like, if someone messes with your girl, you're gonna get angry. Like, I'm not a dad of like sons and daughters, but I've been told it's not a fact, but like, the love that you have for your son is the same that you love that you have for your daughter. But your daughter is like your little girl. It's not better, it's just different. Which brings me to my first point. If you're taking notes, before she was your wife, Listen, she was God's daughter. Before she was your wife, she was God's daughter. My question for you this morning is, how does God feel about the way that you're treating his daughter? How does God feel about the way that you're treating his daughter? Imagine if someone came to my house and disrespected my daughter. How would I feel? Imagine if someone was verbally or physically abusive to her. How would I feel? How would God feel about the way that you're treating his daughter? Single guys that are dating around, playing the field. That's God's daughter you're dating. How does God feel about the way that you're treating his daughters? And when I was in the seminary, the big idea, I remember there was one like introduction to theology course, and the teacher asked this question, who's Adam's first relationship in the Bible? Everyone was like, oh, that's easy, God. And then the teacher asked the question, who is Eve's first relationship? And the entire class said, Adam. It's a big lie that's found in the scriptures, and I want to show something to you. Before she was your wife, listen, she was God's daughter. And last week, we walked through Genesis chapter 2, and we'll walk through it again, but a specific verse. Read this verse with me. It says, so the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. Sunday afternoons, it's easy for a man to fall asleep. Put on something like no one watches, like golf or some communist sport like soccer or hockey, like we'll easily fall asleep. And if you're a Warriors fan, put on a Lakers game, you'll easily fall asleep. So while the man slept, the Lord God took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Now, I want to just pause right there and say something significant to encourage the women in the room. Listen, when God made Simba, Timon, Puma, Ariel, and Free Willy, listen, he made them from the dust of the ground. You are the only creature in all of creation that God created inside paradise. Adam was created in the wild, among the dirt. That's why we're dirty old men, right? Women are different, though. Some of you need to realize that you were created special and on purpose. God created you in the garden differently than the other. It's not better, but you're different. Some of you need to believe that this morning. God created you special this morning. And the verse continues. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. I find this so fascinating because Adam, listen, he was alone with God, and he had a personal relationship with God. And many times we think that Eve was just made and she was brought to the man, but the Bible says that he fell into a deep sleep. Please don't think that was like 5 minutes long or even a day. That could have been weeks. It could have been months, because the pattern of the Bible is this. God wants a personal relationship with you. And he does the exact same thing with Eve. He's so focused, listen, on having a personal relationship with Adam, with Eve, he puts Adam to sleep. See, before God brings a man into your life, he wants a personal relationship with you. He wants you alone. He wants to tell you how special you are, that he made you different. Because listen, if you don't hear from him, you're going to want to hear from another man. And he'll never understand how valuable you really are. And what's so beautiful about this marriage, listen, that each of them, Adam and Eve, had a number one. They were pursuing their number one with their number two. See, your marriage is momentary. See, one day you're going to hand your daughter, God's daughter, back to him, because your marriage is momentary. And if you want your marriage to last, if you want it to be like last forever, it needs to be wrapped up in Jesus. And if this is Colossians 1, that in him being Christ, God holds all things together. So this is why I know when people come to me when their finances are a mess, when their relationships are a mess, or their careers are a mess, because God's not in it. Because God promises that in Christ, all things hold together. So this is where I want to challenge some of the people in this room. Is God number one? The greatest marital question I can ask is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus this morning? Do you have a relationship with God? Not did I say, did you read your Bible? Or did you go to church? Or do you know about Jesus? Listen, even the demons know Jesus, but they don't have a personal relationship with him. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? That's going to be the greatest indicator of success in your marriage. If I could just pause for a moment and speak to all the single ladies here. If you're a single lady, would you raise your hand this morning? Don't be scared. Come on now. If you're not married, listen. If you wanted to put a ring on it, I don't care if you're dating, but if you're single, would you just raise your hand? Come on. Don't be shy this morning. Look around, guys. Come on. See what you're working with. You're welcome. But let me just speak candidly to the women this morning. There are some things that you do. I have no clue. You were made special and in the garden. But the biggest problem, I'm talking to the women in the church. If you're not a believer here this morning, you can just ignore what I'm about to say, because I'm going to pick on the women for a second in the church. Most women, my wife and I have been doing ministry with for the last 10 years, most women who are single and ready to mingle and dating, many of them, not all of them, many of them find their identity in their relationship and not in their relationship with God. And here's how I know, because the guy you're dating, you have no business dating him, right? This is uncomfortable for me to say, like, you're sitting next to him, and I'm looking at both of you, and I'm saying it, right? But there's no reason for you to be dating him. He doesn't know Jesus. There's no such thing as missionary dating. Some people are like, oh my gosh, Allie, he's like so hot. So is hell, honey. So is hell. Come on. Like, you don't understand, Pastor Allie. He bought me this necklace. So he purchased you some jewelry. Jesus purchased you with his blood. There is no comparison. Come on. Let me just press a little bit deeper. Last week we talked about pineapples and sex. If you don't listen to that sermon, go listen online. But you know God wants to give you pineapples, not pineapple chunks. You know you shouldn't be sleeping with him, but you do it anyways. And here's the truth, because you know if you don't, he's going to break up with you. So you'll trade intimacy and connection with God for fake intimacy and connection with a man. And it's not his problem, it's yours. Because your identity is wrapped up in a false God, not the true God. And I say that because I love you. As your pastor, I want the best for you. Do you know how God created you? Do you know God was so intent on having a personal relationship with you? He put the man to sleep so that he can get you alone. And I pray that you would get woke this morning and realize that you are made special and on purpose. You're not better. You're just different. If I can speak to the married men this morning. Listen, if you only view your wife as your wife, I hear this all the time. Oh, that's my wife. That's my wife. But man, she's not some trophy that you won. You know what men do when they win a trophy? They put it on a shelf, and they want another one. But if she's God's daughter, then that means you got to give her back one day, and probably in better shape than he gave you. It changes everything. Before she was your wife, listen, she was God's daughter. Number two, take this down. Write this down. This one's going to challenge some of you. If you do not lead your family, then Satan will. If you do not lead your family, then Satan will. A couple months ago, actually about a year and a half ago, I was at Chick-fil-A because it's where Jesus is all the time. It's true. I'm commanded to preach the gospel. It's the truth. So I'm there eating Jesus chicken. And there's this poor mom. She's got a baby on him, like 2-year-old baby on the hip. And then she has this 4-year-old who probably dropped acid. I don't know what happened to this kid. He's just screaming, doing like NASCAR laps in Chick-fil-A. And like, it was the weirdest scene. She's like, yes, can I please get 8-piece chicken? If you don't stop, I'm going to slit your throat. Yes, oh, thank you so much. Can I please get a salad? Like, she's being nice to the person behind the register, but then she'd turn around and like want to kill her kid. And then the worst part about it was the husband was right there the whole time. Like, his arms were crossed. Homeboy took like Valium or something. I don't know what he was doing. I wanted to hit him in the back of the head like, help your wife, bro. Passive men in the church. Can I just speak to the passive men? God wants you to be active in your marriage. He wants you to lead, not control your home, but lead your home. And men, I'm not like picking on that guy because I do this too. Like, I'll be driving down the street and check engine light will come on. Like, I'll turn my eyes away like it's a naked woman. Like, I can't look. I don't want to look. I'm just hoping the next 2 or 3 weeks the car doesn't explode. Why? Because I'm passive. We all have tendencies towards being passive. Watch what happens in the scriptures when Adam is passive. If you want to change a marriage, listen. You change the man. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. That is not the verse. Let me just read you the verse. The verse begins in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. If it's not on the screen, I'll just read it out loud. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, did God really say that you must eat of the fruit of any eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Of course we may eat the fruit from the tree of the garden, the woman said. It is only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you're not allowed to eat it or touch it. If you do, you will die. You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be open, and as soon as you eat it, you will be like God, knowing good, both good and evil. The woman was convinced. She saw the tree was beautiful and the fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some fruit of the fruit and ate it. This is the best part. And then she gave some to her husband in the middle of Chick-fil-A because he was doing nothing, who was with her the whole time. Adam is there. Listen, if there's your naked wife is standing next to a talking snake, you better get involved. I don't know like how much more evidence that you need to get involved in your marriage. If there's a talking snake and who was with her and he ate it too. Listen, there is this big theological debate in the church. Whose fault was it? Eve was deceived. Eve was talked to by the serpent. Eve ate it, and then Eve gave some to her husband. But listen, Adam was there the whole time. He was like the guy in Chick-fil-A with his arm crossed, watching his family go crazy and doing nothing. Listen, let me just end that debate once and for all. If I come home from work and my wife is naked, eating pineapples, I'm going to eat some too. Like, women, you are powerful when you're naked and with some fruit. Like, guys, don't get upset with me. I didn't give our secrets away. God did. But And then it continues. Read the next verse. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" See, Adam and Eve are both responsible for their own sin. But listen, men, you're accountable for the sin in your family. If your daughter gets addicted to drugs, it's her responsibility to get undicted, but it's your accountability. You're going to stand before God one day and say, "What did you do with the family I gave you?" See, most men, they want to brag about their career, their 401k, their salary, and they go, "I provide for my family." Look at the question that Adam is asked by God in the middle of chaos. It doesn't say, "Bring up your 401k, Adam." It doesn't say, "How much real estate do you own in Eden?" He goes, "What did you do with the most precious thing I gave you? What did you do with Eve?" Because she's not just your wife, Adam. That's my little girl. Come on. My question for you this morning is, how are you leading your family? Because if you don't lead it, Satan will. Yeah. If you don't lead it, Satan will. And this is where I want to challenge some of the men. Don't let your wife drag you to church. You initiate. Because there are going to be days where she doesn't want to go. You're like, "Okay, let's sleep in." Bring your family to church. Some of you single men, can I tell you, this church doesn't need you to serve. Your faith, your marriage, your kids, your future marriage, you need to learn how to serve. Because if you don't learn how to serve other people, you'll never learn how to serve your wife. If I can tell you some of the things for the single women, remember when I had you raise your hands? Let me encourage you. Let me give you four things I want you to look for in a man before he can lead you. Because sometimes it's hard. Sometimes they're just like hot guys. Like, how do I tell the difference, right? I don't even know what that's like. I'm just like talking from other people's experience. That was awkward. I don't know why that came out. Number one, how's this relationship with God? Because if you're dragging him to church now when he's your boyfriend, you're going to be dragging him to church after you get married too. Is he actively pursuing Jesus now? Because if he's not, listen, I've been doing this for 10 years. He's not going to do it after you get married either. Second question, how does he handle money? The Bible, in John, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, "You either love God or you will love money." Why did Jesus say that? Because he knows the greatest idol in everyone's heart. It's not sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It's money. Yeah. And where your treasure is, there your heart is. And in the scriptures, let me just be very clear. When God says, "When you are faithful with little, then I'm going to give you much." Listen, money is always the little thing in the Bible. People are always the big thing. Yeah. When that guy comes to my house, I'm going to say, "Please show me how much money you've given your local church in the last year. Because my daughter's priceless. And I want to see if you, are you good with money before I give you the most valuable thing that I own?" Some of you would push back. Why, when you go to a bank and apply for a loan, what do? They look for your credit score. They want some pre-qualifications. That's my Christian qualification. If you want my priceless daughter, listen, I got a gun and a Glock and a knife. Now I want to see some faithfulness in the little things before I give you the big thing. Number three, write this down. How is he with his job? If homeboy is like an expert at Xbox and like FIFA, that's probably not the kind of husband you want. Like if he's like world champion in Fortnite, he's probably not going to be world champion for husband. I'm just being real. Like if he loses his job every 3 to 6 months, and it's always the boss, always his employees, like run, ladies, run. Fourth thing, and this is depending on his phase of life, what are his grades like? Ooh, I just pushed some buttons right there. See, most men before the age of 25 live with their parents. The mom pays the bills, dad pays electricity. They do the laundry, they cook the cleaning. The only thing that God has given you stewardship over is your grades. Not that grades like determine everything, but why would God give you a family? Listen, why would God give you the most precious thing that he owns if you can't even do good in school? And listen, I'm not asking for straight A's. I'm just asking for effort. Like God gave us his best on the cross. We should give him our best. Amen? Amen? What are you doing with God's daughter? And if you don't lead your family, listen, Satan will. Number three, write this down. It's not just what you say, it's how you say it. It's not just what you say, it's how you say it. This is like a big difference between men and women. Like right after church, like two guys can get into a cussing match, fist fight, we'll break them up. Like, "Oh my gosh, what's going on?" 5 minutes later, like, "Oh my gosh, bro, I was so stupid. I shouldn't have done that. Yeah, man, I'm sorry." They'll go to Chick-fil-A, they'll be best friends for life. Two women will fight in church. They'll be angry in heaven. Listen, like they'll say, like, "What are you doing here? I thought you'd be in hell. Like, why are you here?" Right? Because words carry greater emotion with women. I've learned this the hard way. My wife and I will fight the night before, wake up in the morning like, oh my gosh, great day, let's go to like breakfast. We're driving to breakfast, like, huh, why are fights always in the car? I'm like, honey, you don't look, are you fine? You don't look fine. I'm fine. I know you're saying fine, but like you're kind of cold. Is everything okay? I'm fine. You're saying it, but like, clearly you're not. I need time to process. What? I've never had a man call me like, bro, I need to process. Like, I'll punch him in the throat. Are you done yet? Let's process. Women are different. Listen, one of the greatest mistakes I made was not realizing the weight my words carry with my wife. I'm going to share a story. It's going to make me look really stupid. And I'm doing it because I want Jesus to be the hero of the church, not me. The first 3 months that my wife and I were married, we were under enormous financial pressure. My wife, her family went through some difficulties. She had a bunch of credit card debt and student loans. And she thought, because she's not really good at math, that the minimum payment was like $300. It was more like $1,300, but there's a one she missed. Right? So like, I'm having a heart attack in Starbucks. Like, oh my gosh, like what's going on? And like any good wife, like we didn't have money for like anything. Like we're like dirt poor. She's like, we need this, we need that. And she's not working. And like one day I'm like, I just like snap. And I'm like, you need help. And I like screamed it. And I knew I broke her heart. Listen, like we can laugh, but it's like one of the worst days of my marriage. Because she went silent immediately. Because words carry differently between men and women. And now my wife will make fun of me. Like whenever she's stressed out, she'll be like, Allie, help. And she's saying with like a smile on her face. Because she's making fun of me, like of the worst day in our marriage. Right? Adam, listen, in the worst day of his marriage, spoke the most loving, the most tender words over his wife. And this week, it was so convicting. What do you call your wife after the biggest fight in your marriage? Like, some of you can't even use those words in church, right? Like, if we're honest, some of the things that we've said to our wife in the biggest fights, none of us are proud of. Like, mine is, What do you say to your wife when you're angry with her? Adam and Eve have they're not just separated from one another, they're separated from what? This is like the worst day of their marriage. And look what Adam says to Eve in Genesis chapter 3, verse 20. It says, Adam named his wife Eve. Eve literally means living or life. He's speaking life over his wife. He's speaking encouragement over her. He's not condemning her. He's not beating her up saying, man, if you didn't eat that pineapple woman, we wouldn't be here right now. He's encouraging her in the middle, listen, of the biggest fight in their marriage. In Romans chapter 1, it says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus doesn't remind you of your mistakes. So if there's no condemnation for you, there should be no condemnation through you. Let me say that again, because it's so good. Some of you men need to realize, Jesus doesn't remind you of your mistakes, the bigger ones that you're afraid to tell other people. So if there's no condemnation for you, there should be no condemnation through you. In Ephesians chapter 5, what I think is the greatest verse in the Bible, the chapter in the Bible about marriage, Paul says this. If you're taking notes, this is a great time to start. It says, husband, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. One might speak to most married men, they want to love their wives like that. Jesus died for the church, so they want to die for their wives. And then he makes it practical. What does that practically look like? And gave himself up for her. And the next verse says, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. My question for you married men are, how are you treating God's daughter? Not just on the good days, but in the worst days of your marriage, does she walk away radiant, blameless, without wrinkle? That's the mark of a maturity. That's the mark of a man who's loving his wife, not just as his wife, but as God's daughter. And I can tell you, when you love your wife like this, everything changes. Because you're receiving that love from God, so we should give that love to God. Listen, single ladies, if you're dating a guy right now and he's verbally abusive, it's only going to get worse when you get married. Marriage is a magnifier. If he's physically abusive, please call the church. I'm going to go to his house with 5 other guys, and we're going to go Old Testament on him. Just saying. Break up with that guy. I meet so many men in the church. They have like, I have anger problems. That's just the way I am. I feel like throw something, break something, and then I yell at a few people, and then I'm okay. That's the way you is sucks. I'm sorry. No one breaks their ankle and walks around like this for the rest of their life. My leg's broken. This is just the way I am. No. Go get help. And listen, you don't have a behavior problem. You have a heart problem. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Which means you don't have an anger problem. You have a broken heart problem. This is why in the Bible it says that when you confess your sins to God, you're forgiven. 1 John 1, verse 9. But then when you confess your sins to one another, James 5, 16 says that you're healed. There's a healing that takes place when you walk out your Christianity with other people. Yeah. This is why some of you need, your marriage needs you to sign up for groups. Because you will never experience the life change only on Sundays. I love Sundays, but the party doesn't stop here. You need groups for your marriage. If I can speak to the men who have anger problems for a second. You know what I always hear about those men? I hear this. I'm stuck in my relationship with God. I hear that all the time. Let me show you why in the scriptures that's so important, because God tells you why your relationship is stuck. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Like, when I first read that, I'm like, are you kidding me? This is going to take forever. My wife is crazy. Like, it's going to take a lifetime to understand my wife. Exactly. Like, men are easy. Like, sex, naked woman, hobbies, and we're happy. Like, it's like we're easy. Like, you put on ESPN, we're even more happy. Like Fortnite, heaven. Just being real. Women are different. And then look what he says. Showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Do you know why your relationship was stuck? Do you know why God stopped answering your prayers? Do you know why it's so important, the words that you speak over your wife, not just on good days, but in the middle of the biggest fights? Because that's daddy's little girl. That's daddy's little girl. And he is so adamant about her knowing how valuable it is. She put you to sleep so he can be alone with her. And he didn't make her from the dust. He made her from inside the garden, not because she's better than you, but she's special. And he wants to give her to someone that will take her and take care of her the way that he did. Because if you don't lead your family, listen, Satan will. And the words that you use matter. Number four, pursuit is intentional, not accidental. Listen, I had this big mistake in my marriage that I would date Yasmin, and then I got married, and then I stopped. But Christian marriage is different. You marry a girl so that you can date her for the rest of your life. Don't just date a girl so you can marry her. Let the pursuit continue for the rest of your life. Marry her so she's yours. So you can get together every Friday night and go on dates with her for the rest of your life. That's what intentional pursuit looked like. The first year of my marriage, my wife would always talk about going to the opera. Like, I can't wait to go to the opera. I had never been in my life. Like, culture for me is like putting closed captioning on NBA games. Like, I'm reading. Like, this is culture for me. Just being honest. We go to the opera and the whole thing's in Italian. Like, who knew? Like, if I'm going to pay someone to read subtitles, why would I want to pay $100 for that? I pay Amazon $15 a month for them to read me a book. I'm paying this guy $100 a month, and I got to read the book. Like, this is, like, totally backwards. So I'm having this time with my wife. It's 3 hours long. I'm reading this book, the whole thing. I'm like not that smart. So, like, 5 minutes in, I'm like, what's going on here? Like, I don't even know what's going on. And musicals. They didn't even talk for, like, 2 seconds during this whole thing. Like, musicals are so, like, it never happens. Like, no one walks to Walmart and there's a greeter. Like, hello to Walmart. Hello to Walmart. Like, you stay in line. Hello. You're about to check out. Like, no one does that in real life. I had this plan to sing. I have the worst voice. I don't want anyone to leave Christianity, so I didn't. You're welcome. But my idea, when people ask, like, did you have a good time at the opera? I had a terrible time. You would never go again? No, I would love to go again because my wife was there. Because I got to hold her hand for 3 hours. That's why it was good. The opera sucks. I'm not that cultured. But being with my wife, listen, when you score with your wife, eventually you're going to score. Like, you're going to take your clothes off. It's going to be awesome. But it begins with you pursuing your wife. And you never, listen, you never accidentally fall in love. And you never accidentally fall out of love. It always happens on purpose. In Genesis chapter 4, right after the biggest fight in their marriage, right after Adam speaks these loving words over her, he begins to pursue her again. It's a model for us men. He's the biblical man. He pursues his wife. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, Adam laid with his wife Eve. He scored, guys. Like, we should celebrate this verse right here. And she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Later she gave birth to a son, to his brother Abel. My challenge for you is if you are focused on one woman, if she has all of your energy, you won't have time for an affair. If you have all of your energy and focus on one woman, you won't have time for pornography. If I can just speak candidly to the single men in this room, some of you need to learn to pursue a wife. Like, you're so afraid of asking her. Like, grow a pair. I'm saying that in the most loving way that I can. Listen, don't just get her number and like text her obscure. Like, what are you doing Friday? Hoping she's like, oh my God, like I can't wait to go out. Like, man up and ask her. And Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22 says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and finds favor with the Lord. Doesn't say that she who finds a husband. It says that he who finds a wife. When all the single ladies raise their hand, go up to her and be like, I saw you raise your hand. You're cute. Can I take you out on a date? Right? Some of you ladies are like, I'm still here. Right? And don't do the demonic thing. Pay for the meal. Like only Satan splits the bill. Then take her home at the end of the night, no strings attached, and do it again. And so what if you ask her out and she says, I don't want to go out on a date? At least you know. Like, ask her, is this no now or like no even during a zombie apocalypse? And when she says no even then, just move on. Ladies, if you have to pursue him now, you're going to have to lead him later. I've seen it time and time again. Don't play hard to get. Don't like flirt with a bunch of guys. But let him come after you. Like, how do I do that, Pastor Allie? Best way I know how to do this is go, Pastor Allie preached on this sermon in just chapter 2, verse 18, says that it's not good for a man to be alone. And when I read that verse, I thought of you. And then just walk away. Let her figure it out. Let him figure it out. If I can speak candidly to the men, how does God feel about the way that you're treating his daughter? And I'm not the expert in this, but there are three questions I try to ask my wife regularly to gauge that. If you're not taking notes, these are not going to be on the screen. Please, please write these down. And when you ask them, don't interrupt her. Let her say whatever she wants. Because she's going to say some things that are going to shock you. First one is this. What do I do that you find to be romantic? What do I do that you find to be, the things that you think are romantic, like doing the dishes, blah, 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 she doesn't find that. Maybe she does. Let her answer the question. And when she says, you find that romantic? No, look at all the things. Don't interrupt her. Just let her say whatever she wants. Second question, what do I do to make you feel special and valuable? And just zip it and see what she says. What do I do that makes you feel special and valuable? And the third question is this. How am I doing as a husband? How am I doing as a husband? I asked that question about 2 years ago in the middle of a workaholic season I was in. My wife says, you're never around. You love work and church more than you love me and Sophia. And kind of had to change my lifestyle. It's not her that changes. You want to change a marriage, you change the man. You want love that lasts, it falls on us. Ask her that question. Ask her how you're doing. She might totally shock you. But she hasn't left you. She's still your wife. And at the end of the day, she's still God's daughter. You can change. If I get everyone to stand and close their eyes, I want to pray for some marriages this morning. Pray for some future marriages this morning. If you're single and ready to mingle, and you felt some conviction on your life this morning over the word that was preached, that is God speaking to you. I didn't name you, the Holy Spirit did. If I get every person to close their eyes and bow their heads, I want to pray for all the single people in this room. I just pray, Lord, that you would give them a vision of a godly marriage, God. A vision, Lord, where the women will view themselves as God's daughters and the men will see themselves as responsible for what happens in their home. That it's not just good, God, to bring a salary home. We have to lead our families spiritually. I pray that in this season of singleness, God, that they would learn to serve other people before they learn to serve their spouse. I pray for the marriages this morning, marriages that are struggling, marriages that they may say are even dead. Jesus is in the business of making dead things come back alive. That's what Easter is all about. Let me give you some hope this morning that the tomb is empty and there's news to tell. He can resurrect your marriage. He can bring dead things back to life. In the middle of the worst day of Adam and Eve's marriage, God spoke a promise of hope. God spoke the life-giving prophecy of Jesus that one day, that through the seed of the woman, even though you
you were deceived through the seed of the woman, a Savior would come. And that Savior is Jesus. And Jesus came and died and lived the life that we couldn't live so that we can be forgiven, so that we can be brought home, that not only the daughters of God, but the sons of God could be forgiven. That's your marriage. That's where you are right now. You are hopeless. Let me remind you, God can bring hope in a hopeless situation. He can bring dead things back to life. He can bring love where there is death. He can bring life where there is nothing. And if you just give him your life, if you just simply trust in him this morning, say, Jesus, would you change me? Would you change the way I love my wife? Watch your marriage change. One of those four things I said, just apply one of them this next month, this next week, and watch your marriage change. I want to speak for a moment to all the people that are spiritually curious about this God who loves you so much that he would die for you. See, I know what it feels like to come to church for the very first time. It's scary. And we created this church for unchurched people so that people who are far from him could hear the life-giving message that Jesus loves you. God loves you enough. Listen, that he put Adam asleep so they can get alone time with you, ladies. Men, he loves you so much he brought a naked woman to your house. It's in the Bible. Don't get angry. That God loves you. That God wants a personal relationship with you. And he loves you enough, listen, that he died on a cross for you. You don't need more evidence. You don't need a Valentine's Day card. God gave you the cross. That's his love message. That's his love note to you, that I love you enough to die for you. And if that's you this morning and you're wondering, what do I need to do to be loved by God? He already loves you. You don't need to go to a holy building. You don't need to read a holy book. You don't even need to live a holy life. It's by faith alone. Just say, I want to relate. If that's you this morning and you want to start a relationship with Jesus with every eye closed and every head bowed, if that's you, would you just be willing to raise your hand? Would you be willing to say, you know what? I want to start that relationship with Jesus. You're not saying yes to me. You're not saying yes to this church. You're saying yes to the living God. Just put your hands down. Let me pray. Would you repeat this prayer with me? Thank you, God, that you love me enough to die for me. Thank you, God, that you sent your son who lived the sinless, perfect life for me. Thank you, Jesus, that he did all the work for me to come back and be in relationship with you. Jesus, I receive your death on a cross for me. Jesus, I receive your penalty that you died in my place, and now I can be forgiven. Now I can be given a second chance. I want to follow you all the days of my life, Lord. Would you fill me with your spirit? If that was you this morning, I would love for you to fill out a connect card. We want to walk with you. We want to help you on this journey of faith. And if some of you felt convicted to go to Growth Track, put that on the card. What's your next step this morning? What's the next step in your marriage? What's the next step in your journey of faith? It's not just to come on Sundays and hear a guy in skinny jeans preach. God wants to walk with you. He wants a personal relationship with you.
Thanks so much for joining us on today's message. We hope it gives you life. Hey, and don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and text 77977 to download our app and stay tuned with all of our updates.